pray all is well. We need to pray for Jeff B. He called and said he's having some hard time sleeping last night, so he's not going to be here. He's things with his lungs. Just pray that he does well, and the healing of God will be upon him. Be up and going before long. Praise the Lord. And it was just mainly because he was so tired. He didn't sleep much last night. Because of that, he's not here. Just so to let you know. Also, Pat and Cheryl are out in Nebraska with his mom, so pray for them. Anyone else here that needs praying with Bill, he's recuperating. Praise the Lord, he's doing fine. Just blessed, just keep praying and lifting everybody up. And there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. We need to, as the Lord speaks to you, if you pray for each other, if you start praying for the people here in this body, I guarantee you, God can give you knowledge of how to pray for that person. So that's something that maybe if you haven't been doing, you might want to do. Check it out and see what's going on. But the weather is changing, but it's still nice. I see the trees are starting to come out. That means Brian will probably take a trip up to along the Des Moines, the Mississippi River, and see all the pictures, as he loves to take pictures of the trees and the scenery. So that might be happening before long. It's really, they are turning and it's looking nice. Probably because it's not as nice as if it had more water. If it had more rain this fall, it might even be better. But they do look pretty nice. They're turning. It's that time of the season. There's a lot of things going on in seasons. God always says, Ecclesiastic talks about the seasons. There's always a season for this, that, and the next thing. We've got some real strange seasons going on right now with the storms and with Israel and Iran and all the stuff that's happening that way, plus everything else happening in people's lives. So you need to know the season. You can ask the Father and find out for sure. The elections are coming, and that's another situation with the seasons that could be changing depending on who gets into the election. Other things might happen between now and then. You don't know what's going on. You have to trust and believe God and know what is God doing. There's always, and I'm hearing and reminded, as well as Eric has said it, and Chris have said it before, that there's been a promise over this land. It's been dedicated to God. God's not going to let it go. We had a teaching with Sharon Bunnell once that she says, God won't pull the plug on the United States and have it go down the tubes. There's a blessing that's supposed to be here because this was blessed for God. And I believe God will honor that covenant that was made many years ago in different ways. And I just pray, Father, that you bring things back in place where they should be and help us, guide us, and direct us in these seasons of change. I'm just going to put a season of change as at hand. And the change that you might think might not be what happens. And if change comes, then you've got to start praying and being in the presence of God to find out, is it of God or is it of the devil? Plain and simple, it's either one or the other. And things are lining up. We'll just see how it all plays out. We'll just kind of go from there. We've been watching some videos here. Yesterday, Debbie has our smart TV that's smarter than I am. And it was showing, what they call them, podcast or whatever, videos on YouTube about people going out and rescuing you and helping and doing things for North Carolina, even Tennessee. And it's a blessing that we don't have that going on here, even though in 93 it was kind of tough for us that way. But that's when the floods came, and it was quite something. We lived in Colfax, and we didn't, when we actually had our business, had us go to Washington, state of Washington, and we checked out this truck, had a crane on it that they were thinking about buying, and we looked at it, and we purchased. We told them what was going on, so they bought it. We drove it back. We just got back, pulled into Des Moines, And the people at the work says, you better get in your car and get out of here, or they're going to keep you at work. We just drove back from Washington, wiped out. Says, you don't need to stay here. Just get out of here, because we're going to bring people in here. They're putting sandbags up and putting forklifts behind doors to keep the water from busting them down. And he was doing all kinds of work. So we got out to the Colfax, drove across the bridge, and everybody was doing sandbags. So I went home, and Debbie stayed there, and I went with Sarah, and we went down, and we put sand in sandbags for a long time. And it still came out. The river came out, went down the middle of Colfax there, and we came within 6 inches of not being able to go up Highway 6. It was just about over Highway 6, the water. We would have to go clear down to, down south to Prairie City and then back around that way in order to come back into Des Moines. That's how bad it was, because we couldn't go across the river. That little skunky river was starting to smell pretty bad. So we took and we were very fortunate, but our business down on 2nd Avenue wasn't so lucky. There was about 4 foot of water there. So we had to took shifts, and when you'd walk through the water, and it'd be 4 foot deep, and once in a while you walk across an area that was really warm, and you're thinking, uh-oh, what is this? You had to have your tetanus shots and everything else that was going on, because you didn't know what was in the water. But we worked on that for a period of time. We were lucky the business down just east of us was, you could just barely see the top of the roof of the building, so it kind of dropped down there a little bit. We stood about four and a half feet of water on the building. They saved everything, luckily, but it was a lot of work. So I remember that part of it, and luckily we didn't have any problems with no water. People in Des Moines didn't have any water, so I couldn't even imagine what they're over there with the mudslides, roads gone. You know, people, they can't even find them yet. I mean, it's just horrible what's happening. So we watched that yesterday and kind of had appreciation of having a nice, warm house and nice, beautiful weather. And maybe we didn't have much rain, but at least we didn't have any problems with the rain. So we're just kind of blessed. And it was just something to make me think a little bit differently on what was happening. I started back in today, last Friday, and I'm thinking, man, maybe I ought to do a little review. It wasn't really for sure. I've got a little bit more left on the foundational teaching that I've been doing. And the Lord brought up, go back to the beginning. I says, oh, what's this? So he gave me Job 38, 1 through 6. And this is the New Living Version that I'm reading from. It's the only one I don't like the New Living Version very well. When it first came out, it was good because it made things simple, but they've lost a lot of translation, and it doesn't seem to be as powerful. So I kind of went back to the King James until I got into the New Living Testament, which is closer to the actual wording that, see, I went through King James, and I'd see a word, I'd go into the concordance and find out what it meant from the Greek and Hebrew. And the New Living Testament, a lot of that had been translated over. So I still walk between the King James and the New Living Testament. There's a lot of versions out of there. I'm not saying one's better than the other. These are the two I use. So if you use another one, that's perfectly fine. Just don't get so caught up in it, as long as we get the Word of God. Because it doesn't matter what version you got. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're still not going to know what's going on. You're only going to have head knowledge and not spiritual wisdom. So that's just part of it. So I'm using that one on this one. And it says, when the Lord answered Job out of the storm, he said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Words without knowledge. He was talking, if you go back and understand Job and what was happening. He was challenging Job because Job challenged God. He said, I want to talk to him. God says, yeah, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? And tell me if you understand. Where were you when I laid the earth foundation? It's not a big bang. It was not just unplanned. It was planned. You can believe whatever's going on from the other people. I want to tell you about a big bang. It was over. It was just a mistake. I don't know, something happened. Gases came together and they just had a big explosion. Whatever you want to do. God says he planned it. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it. It was not a mistake. It was measured out. It was consciously planned, thought about, and put together. Consciously planned, put together. Anybody have any plans going on in your house, around your job? You're always planning something. You just don't go, let's do it. It's done. It's over. No, it takes a lot of planning. When you start to plan, and that's what God is saying. Who did this? How do you know? You know, you're so smart and telling me so much. Then tell me what's going on here. Tell me what's happening. And he says, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it. On what was this footing set? And who laid its cornerstone? I know enough about building. I've talked about this before. This little review with those who have been around here. I brought up pictures before where in a foundation, when you start to build, anytime you build something up, there's usually a footing. A footing, if you can go down, it's like in Iowa here, you got to go 4 foot down, below 4 foot, because frost will go down. And if you have something 4 foot deep or 3 foot deep, the frost will get in there and buckle it up, just like our sidewalk out front here. Every once in a while in the wintertime, you'll see it buckled up a little bit and more cracks. Why? Because the moisture got underneath it and raised it up because of the frost. And that's what happens to the roads. That can happen the same thing to anything, that the frost can get underneath it, will raise stuff. It does that to it. But a footing, when you put it down deep enough, the frost won't affect it. If you go to a sandy area, you have to go down till you find a rock foundation. So they get down on that rock and make it supported. So anything you build on it has to be solid, has to be there to support everything that you put on. That's what a foundation is. The reason I use NIV, it's the only translation I have seen, there might be some out there, that talks about a footing. It indicates a footing in the others, but it actually says footing in the NIV. It's a point that I make out. Anything that's built has been brought with a footing. There has to be a footing, and then they build everything on the footing. That's the cornerstone starting to build on top of that footing. I say that because in Genesis 1, when I seen that, I just jumped out of my skin the first time I read that. I had to get myself back in because I couldn't walk around without it. But the reality is Genesis 1, 1 through 2 is in the beginning, and this is what the Lord said go back to when I read that. He says, go to Genesis 1, 1, because I said, what is this all about, Father? I don't know. I don't want to be a man without knowledge. Give me some knowledge. So he took me to Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was filled with was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In other words, God said, as I was praying about this, he says, I had a plan. I measured everything out. I set it all up. But before I did anything, I placed my spirit in that area. Wherever there's a heaven or an earth, there was the Spirit of God placed. The foundation of everything is the Spirit of God. That is a revelation. If you get that revelation, everything is spiritual. Everything has to do with the Spirit. There's a spiritual understanding behind everything. Because spirit is life. He could not have built anything if he had not placed the spirit first. The spirit is so important. That is definitely a revelation right there. If you get that down deep inside you, you'll start to see things differently. Everything was built from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It was the beginning of everything. So then that was the first change God made in my teaching and what I was preparing to do, because he wanted to lay a foundation. That sounds exciting. He wanted to put a footing down to stand on everything that I got to say. The beginning. And I want to, I'm just going back. The first song was so awesome. I don't know if anybody enjoyed that song. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't. But I was listening to it, and I mean, I got cranked, but that doesn't mean it's going to get you all hyped up on the Holy Ghost. But it did me. Why? It's just something about it. Because he's telling you the truth. The truth will set you free. And when I heard that, I said, I just felt my spirit, we needed to play that. And last night, the Lord said right after that song, I said, if the people aren't screaming and hollering and jumping up and down, stop the song and talk to them about it. Because sometimes we get so dead to the Holy Ghost. We're so complacent. But I heard enough talking and praising and worshiping and clamping and that I said, I ain't going to stop it. But the second thing he said last night after he told me to stop it if it didn't happen, and that was taking in this song that I played about stand up, give him praise. That's his song. He didn't want me to. I didn't have that. Debbie didn't have it down. She wasn't going to play it. The Lord told me to play it. Why? He wants you to get excited. You bet too dry, and the Holy Ghost wants to make you alive again. He wants you to get so fired up in him, he can't stand with you're not being fired up in him. We're so logical. We're so intelligent. We're so expecting so much that we, in a lot of cases, can't get because we never got prepared to receive it. That come from the Lord. I didn't have that in my notes. And I understand I don't stand. So and some people here have problems standing. I have no problems if people can't stand because I understand that. But if you can stand, I mean, I was about ready to get up and go crazy this morning. Even if I can't stand. Why? Because if I don't do it, you probably won't do it. See, a leader leads, and I'm not leading very good in that area. I apologize for that. We should have a song leader up here jumping around, dancing. I used to be in church. I used to stand and dance all over the place. I even did the Holy Ghost hop once in a while. I don't do it anymore. I'm saying, Father, I don't like not doing it. I like to be in your presence and enjoy yourself. That's what the Lord's saying. He wants to bring excitement back in this place. He wants the Holy Ghost to move in this place. He wants to change you and bring you up to a higher level than you've ever been. I like when Louise said, Louise is supposed to be down here, but he wants to be up here. I thought that was such a good example. Our flesh is down here wanting to do our own thing, but it's up here doing it when it's supposed to be down here under the presence of God, and God should be up here doing all the things. That's what it's about. So he told me to go back and explain what was happening here with a song. The end of the beginning is so important. It was the end of the Old Testament walking by the spiritual death. end of the Old Testament walking by the spiritual death. That's what Jesus did on the cross. In the beginning, people were spiritually alive, Adam and Eve. Adam, male and female, were alive until they died, and then they got divided. And Adam, the male, became Adam, and the woman, his wife, became Eve. There was a division amongst men and women. Marriages. Still going on today. Doesn't have to be, because the unity can come back. But if you don't let God in and don't let him build the foundation and don't let the cornerstones be built, it won't happen. Because you're still up here doing your own thing when you should be down here and letting God do things for you. That's what this is about. You can change or you don't have to change. That's between you and God. I'm not going to get into that. And the beginning was the New Testament with spiritual life. Through Jesus restored back to man what was lost by the sin of Adam. We have been restored. We don't have to be spiritually dead, but we act spiritually dead half the time. Whew. That's what you have to be. You have to be alive in Christ. How are you alive in Christ? With Christ, it's the anointing. Are you alive in the anointing of God? Are you dead and not using the anointing of God? Woo! That came from God. That's not from me. I tell you what, I was empowered last night. He wants something across. He wants you to understand something maybe you haven't understood yet. Because you're allowing the devil. Ooh, Doc, you're allowing the devil to destroy things that I've given you, say the Father. Whew. Expecting somebody else to give you something that I already give you. Expecting something else that I've already given you. That's what the Lord is saying. I didn't plan on getting into this, but I'm just doing what the Lord tells me. That's why it's the end of the beginning. Because he started something anew. But we still live in the old more than we do in the new sometimes. Need to change that around. How are you going to do it? You got to get in the presence of God. Everybody's different. You give me a song, I get in the presence of God. You get me out there doing all kinds of good work, like some people love to work and get things done. I get in it and I get bored. And it puts me down and I get away from God. I got to get back into music again. Get in the presence of God again. You give me somebody to minister to and they say, oh man, you helped me so much. I said, no, you just helped me. Because if I'm not ministering, I become dry and dead. Because I'm called to minister to people. You might not be called to minister to people. You might be called to be a minister of works, a minister of helps, some other type of ministry. And it'll bless your socks off. And the other person will say, that's so boring, I can't do that. You're right. You're not called to do it. Do what you're called to do. Quit complaining and do it. Enjoy yourself. Don't be miserable anymore. Time to change. Glory to God. Ephesians 1 through 14. This is where the Lord wanted me to go. I started this. This all started from Ephesians 1 through 3 through 14. And I'm going to break it up a little bit, but I'm going to just leave all that up there and we'll just kind of go through a few things here. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realm because you are united with Christ. You know, he is so excited. He's got blessings that you have not received. He's wanting to get them to you. How bad do you want spiritual blessings? What are your spiritual blessings? Have you ever asked him? Have you said, Father, show me in your word, what's your spiritual blessing? Or just tell me in the middle of the night when I'm sitting here praying, What is the spiritual blessings that I'm missing? What do you really want me to have? What do you really want me to be? What do you really want me to go and do? I'm tired of being old. I'm tired of sitting back and doing nothing. I'm so busy doing everything. Am I supposed to be doing that? It was like Pittman. I keep bringing him up. But he said one thing when he stood before the Father. And he said, I did all these great things. And all of a sudden the Lord says, who do you think you are? You did all those things because you wanted to. You never done anything for me. You know what he did? He changed. He says, I didn't even see my grandchildren playing games anymore. I know family is so important. You have to ask how important it is to God for them, for you to be in a family game. Or is it something else you got to do? He made a decision. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying you have to make a decision between God and you. I won't come against that because God, I know family is very, very important. But the reality comes down to, he had to make a decision. He said, Father, since he heard what the Lord said, and he'd done a lot of great, magnificent things, he said, not my will, but thine. And his will was, whenever somebody calls to go to a meeting, you go. So every time somebody called, he asked the Father, you want me to go? He says, yes, he did. He started going and doing all these things, and he never seen. He missed a lot of things in his family. He wasn't happy about that. But he was doing what he had to do. He made a decision. That's what the Lord told him he needed to do, and he did. He took everything that he's seen. He was in our place. His wife was sick. His son brought him. But he wanted to be home with his wife. But he wasn't going to do it. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. I know he's passed. I know he's in heaven. I know he's got great works that he did after that point. He did good works before, but the Lord said you would have been in torment. Out of all the works he did, he would have been in torment. Why? Because it would all been burnt up. Again, you can ask the Father, make sure that what I heard was correct, and that was that the fire is that is going to burn or burn the works to see if it burns them up is whether you did it by love or not. The fire has to do with love. Did you do it for your own self? Did you do it because you wanted to do it or because you love God? You had the love of God in you. Are you doing it because you wanted to please somebody? Are you doing it? You go ask the Father. That's my revelation. I'm not going to put my revelation on you. You have to get your own revelation. I've said in too many meetings, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to go here. You got to go there. This is what you have to do. I've tried some of it, and it don't work for me because we're all different. You got to make your own decision. And I'm not going to come against you and say one thing or the other. You have to make your decision. It has to be your revelation. And that's exactly what's going on there. So I'm just bringing up what the Lord is showing me. I'm not coming against anybody or doing anything. It's just what the Lord is saying at the present time. But he says he wants us to have every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved even before he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He created you to be holy. Have a call on your life set apart from the world to do what you're called to do. That's holiness. To be set apart, filled with the Holy Spirit, to achieve what the gift was that he gave you, the plan and the purpose that he made you to do and to complete it on this earth. That was his plan. That was the beginning. He knew you. He thought you were perfect. He loved you. He wanted you. You are awesome in his eyes. No matter how you think or how people think about you, you are awesome in his eyes. God decided to, in advance, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Do you realize that you can give God great pleasure? You are his pleasure. If you look at a kingdom, I haven't talked about this much, but if you look at a king in the world today, everything that he owns is his glory. When Bathsheba went into Solomon's kingdom, what did she say? That even the people, the ditch diggers, have the best clothes ever. It's like Sunday to go into church clothes, digging ditches. You know, all the money he had, she says, they're talking about him is why? Because it's his kingdom. It was the glory of God on him that he gave out to his kingdom. Now, if somebody is in the kingdom and didn't want to receive it, they're not going to have it. They might rebel and reject. God has a kingdom. He has taken the king and gave us the authority over his kingdom. Everything you have can either be greater or less, depending on what you think you can have or what you want. God wants to bless you. He wants to make you his glory. I got a revelation a long time ago. We used to rent houses all the time. We'd move to a place and rent a house because I didn't think I could buy one. One day the Lord said, "Do you realize I want you to buy a house?" I says, "I can't afford it." He says, "I can." And then he said, "You know why?" I said, "No." He says, "You're my glory." I didn't quite understand it. It was a little different what he told me, because I'm not going to lie to you, because I didn't have the understanding, but he actually meant, "You are my glory, and I want to bless you in such a way when somebody looks at you, they're going to say, 'Wow, this is awesome.'" I says, "Yeah, God can do the same thing for you." Amen. Because the reason we have it, God blessed me because I'm his glory, and he wants to show his glory through me. Many people have come into the house. I remember one couple, a gal and a daughter, was there, and, "Oh, your bathroom's so beautiful. I wish we had a bathroom this beautiful." I says, it's the glory. You know, anytime she does all the stuff in the house, that's her glory. That's her kingdom. I says, you can do the same thing, because God loves you and he wants to give you the glory. That's what this is all about. He said he knew you. He gave you all. See, when you come down there, he gives you every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. That doesn't mean the physical realm. Get a revelation. It doesn't mean the physical realm. It means the spiritual realm, heavenly realms. Also, like the time Jesse Duplantis talked about, he went and had an angel take him to heaven because he wanted to see heaven. And they picked him up, took him there. I remember all the things going on, but the most important part that hit me was when the Lord said, take him to his mansion. He went to the mansion. He was standing by the mansion. Anybody can go to YouTube and listen to it. It's on there. Was it divine revelation of, no, not divine, it's Close Encounter of the God Kind by Jesse Duplantis. You can look at it. And he said, I walked in the house. He says, "Oh, I like this furniture with the wood claw feet on it and all this stuff. It was just perfect how I like it." And the angel said, God knows your desire of your heart. And there's things in this house that you wouldn't even ask for, but he knows you want it, and he put it in your house for you. Every single spiritual blessing is yours. We just haven't got the place to receive it. You receive some, but how much are you receiving? That's why Jesse also said when he went there, there was this big building over here. It had no doors and windows on it. And he says, wow, what's this about? To the angel. And he says, you don't want to go in there or get sick. He says, people, when they go in there, just get sick. He says, what's it about? He says, it's all your lost blessings. He went into the building. And he went down to the aisle where it was. He grabbed the drawer and he pulls it out and he says, oh, he's all the less. How many lost blessings have you had? He's seen his. You know what? That's why he's walking the way he is today. He's not missing his blessing because he made a decision. I am not going to miss the blessings God have for me. So he decided to do something different. And God has blessed him greatly. Time to start receiving God's blessing. Excuse me. See, it was great pleasure that he wanted to adopt you in. There's another thing that I needed to say on that, and that was when I was reading this and just praying about it and getting a revelation on it, the Lord said one thing. He says, tell my children, because of Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, he says, because he chose us before the earth was born. He had a plan for us. See, he chose us to be without fault in his eyes. But it was what happened. He says, I chose your parents. I knew your parents. I knew your siblings. I knew your life. I knew what you were supposed to do. I gave you all the abilities to achieve it, and everything else. Your parents were perfect. Your siblings were going to be great and work with you, and you're going to enjoy them. Everything was perfect until sin. Before he created the earth, he knew you, he knew your parents, he knew your sibling, he knew everything you're supposed to be having and doing, but it got destroyed because of sin. Because some people sit there when I've talked to them and they say, oh, I just don't know why I have the parents of God. I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know what this is going on. You have to realize it wasn't God. It was sin that caused all that to happen to you. So when you flip this over and you start to get mad at sin and the devil and what he did, not at Adam, because he fell victim to the devil. See, that's again, when you look at somebody and see something's going on, you see them, they're a victim of the devil. Don't come against them, come against that spirit. It was the devil standing there that caused the problem, because he got Adam to sin. But it was not Adam. Some people are like, well, if my ancestor Adam didn't sin, I wouldn't have this problem. You're right. But if the devil wasn't there to sin him, you wouldn't be sinning, because he couldn't have got it done. But he does the same thing to you all the time, and yet you're still complaining about Adam? No. Because you're allowing him to do the same thing to you. You get a revelation, man, I'll tell you. It'll start to change your life. That's what God wants, a revelation today. I'll tell you, God is awesome. That was verse 5. Now if we go down to 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belongs to his dear son. We belong to his son. And what's happening? He is also rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Again, I've been talking about foundation. I'm talking about the song, the end of the beginning. It was the end of the old spiritual death, the beginning of new spiritual life. Big difference. Romans 2:23. I love this one from the NLT way back when, 1996, I think it is, a version. It's the very first one that came out, because I haven't seen it in other ones, but it explains it so awesome. For all have sinned, all have fall short of God's glorious standard, yet now God in his gracious kindness, in his love for you, gracious kindness is his love. He loves you so much. He declares us not guilty. Even though how bad you think you are and how much sin you do and how much anger you get into and all the things you say you should never say, he still says you're not guilty. Why? Because the blood of Jesus washed us free. Amen. The blood of Jesus washed us free. See, it says in 7 there on Ephesians 1, he also enriched kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with blood of his son and forgave our sins. Down here, he's saying, you know, and yet God with his gracious kindness, his love, declares us not guilty because his son died in blood and put the blood down. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sin. That's the blood. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment. He sent Jesus to take the punishment, because every time you sin, there's a punishment that goes along with it. It's a wage. The wage of sin is death. It's in the Word of God. The wage of sin is death. So what happens? You have to pay for it. He sent Jesus to pay for it, for the punishment that was because of your sin. And it satisfied his anger against you. Now, I can't get the blessings because he's angry at me. Lie from the pits of hell. You do not have a revelation. I can walk in the glory of God, and if I sin, as long as I'm not willfully sinning as the pastor or the biker that was here said, if we're willfully sinning, it won't work. It's done. It's over. There's no more sacrifice that will help you. But if you're not willfully sinning, you might be tempted. You might have situations you're dealing with. Then ask God to get revelation and set free from it so you don't have it anymore. Yes, you'll be tempted, but it's your flesh that allows you to fall into it. And the closer you get to the Lord, the less your flesh has its legal right. The closer you get to the Lord, the less your flesh has its legal right. That's the problem. Most people never want to get close to the Lord. They like to have the flesh up here. Oh, yeah, this is good. They don't want to put it down here underneath their feet where it should be. That's exactly what's going on. See, that's the first and second stone, the block, stone slash block. I've been talking about blocks. Foundational blocks, that's the very first one. The blood of Jesus. Secondly, the punishment for sins have been paid. So now God's not angry at us, and we're not guilty. Jesus was a cornerstone. That's the first two blocks that I talked about. Ephesians 1:8, he has showed his kindness on us along with wisdom and understanding. God is now revealed to us the mysterious plan regarding Jesus, a plan to fulfill his good own pleasures. Fulfill his own good pleasures. Change that around. And this is the part, a plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And when I read that, I about fell through the floor. I mean, I exploded at the same time, about fell through the floor, because it's a revelation I did not have. I've talked about it. If you haven't got it, you better get it. Jesus came back to this earth to take the place that Adam was given, to restore back from Adam everything. Adam, what did he have? He had full authority on earth and in heaven. We don't think that way. What did he do? He named all the animals. Think about that. He had full authority and power. He walked with God. God came down with him. He talked with him. He walked with him. Again, if you realize, and it didn't really, when this religion hasn't been gone this way, Adam was male and female. God came down and talked to male and female. It was not Eve until the sin. It was male, female, which was Adam. Unity, not division. And that's what he was saying here. When he came down, everything under the authority of Christ. When Adam was here on this earth, he had everything under the authority of Christ. Why? He had God's nature. When God blew into his nostril, and in the King James it says, "Let us go down and create man." What was us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when God blew the Spirit, his Spirit, into the nostrils of Adam, he gave him his attribute, which was God's attribute. And he walked in God's attribute, in God's nature, all the way through until he sinned. And when he sinned, the Spirit of God left him. Jesus came back. How? When Jesus came, what happened? He was conceived by the very thing that Adam lost, the Holy Spirit. He had to use a physical woman. That's why he was a virgin, making sure that there was no man's seed that could interfere with the seed of Jesus. And what happened was he created Jesus in the womb by the Spirit of God. Same thing as what Adam happened. And that's what's happening. And the reason I say that is Ephesians. You know, I think I got my scriptures a little. I've had some problems with my computers and didn't get this all quite right. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he made everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that Jesus, or it was the Jews who were the first to trust, yeah, in his glory. And now the Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, yeah, it's still going on. Whom he promised, do you want to read the rest of that there, 14?
And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him.
There you go. Sorry about messing that up. But this in 14, because I didn't think about the middle, but this one on 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. What inheritance did he promise? If you go back to the beginning, he promised us that through Christ, he would be holy and without fault in his eyes. And that was in 4, Ephesians 1:4. And behold, he made the world. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Without fault in his eyes. How did he do that? He did it by the blood of Jesus, going to the cross, the Lamb. He brought it down. And then all of a sudden, what did he do? What Jesus talked about is born again. How do you get born again? You ask Jesus Christ into your life. What's born again? When the Holy Spirit, the same thing that left Adam, comes into you. You now, in this scripture, says, the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, is a guarantee that you are his child. Guaranteed that you are his child. And if he guarantees that you are his child, he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he had purchased us to be his own people. Now, what was that? From the time Adam was the plan, Adam came forth. From that time on, he had planned everybody's life out until sin came in and destroyed everybody's life and what they wanted and what they were supposed to do. If you can see that. But Jesus came back in and reestablished that plan. If you get that revelation, how does he establish that plan? The Spirit is in you. You have to realize that Spirit is in you. That's the plan. He's got a plan for you. Doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter how you're working. It depends on whether you're going to allow the Spirit to be the foundation or the footing of everything that you do. The biggest problem that we have in the body of Christ, they're not being footed. They don't have their footing on the foundation, on the footing, which is the Holy Spirit. Louisa's church in Meredith, when they get together, they start praying in the Holy Spirit for a half an hour before they have anything. Praying the Holy Spirit for a half an hour. Why? They're getting themselves locked on the footing so God can move. They're opening up the heavenlies to bring people in. Haven't done that here because I don't know if we could make it work in this area, which we could just do it and let God figure out the rest of it. praise the Lord. You know, anybody talks about the Holy Spirit, they're out the door. The new people, that is, they don't understand. But it's that foundation. When you start to understand that and you start to see that. See, then the thing the Lord also said last night, he says, go back and hit this one really hard. There's a lot of things I'm not going to get to, which is fine. But the thing is, 1 John 3:8-9. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they don't keep on sinning because they are God's, they are children of God. Now, I had to go back and start looking. I can't find it. I don't know where it came from. I know in there was a scripture that I was talking, and I will find it this week. But it talked about because of the residue that is left in you when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, that residue is the Holy Spirit, and it cannot sin. The Lord wants you, it's a revelation today, the Lord wants you to know one thing. When you are locked on the footing, the very strength of everything that was created by God, the very strength, like I started out with, you know, who put the foundation, who put the footing? The footing is the Holy Spirit. When you realize that you ask Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes inside you. That is your footing. If you do not build everything on that footing, you are missing the mark. You're missing the mark. If you're not allowing that Holy Spirit to move through you, you cannot do what God's called you to do effectively. You're hindering God from moving. That's just where it's at. Too many people are doing that. That's why the Lord keeps hitting me with the word. It says, I, overexposed and underdeveloped. If you develop this, what I talked about today, in your understanding in your spiritual realm and decide to walk in what God wants to do for you, your life will change. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. It just means you're going to change. Because you're walking with the Spirit, and it opens up heavenly doors to give you blessings beyond what you think you can have or anything that you think you should have. But it's giving the legal right to the Holy Spirit to move through you. That's what it's about. Because you realize if temptation comes, you have to make a decision. This is your mind. And we heard that before from a guy. Your mind analyzes, it calculates, and it comes up with an answer. Sure would be nice to do that. I think I can do that and it won't affect anything. Even though it will spiritually, because everything that happens in the spirit is going to affect something spiritually. And then all of a sudden, when you come up with that answer, you have to, let's see, how'd that go? You analyze, you calculate, you come up with an answer, and the biggest obstacle with that answer is to jump over the obstacle and come in with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about it? Once you come up with an answer, what does the Word of God say about it? What is the Holy Spirit going to show you that you need to do in that situation? So you analyze, you calculate, you come up with an answer, and then that obstacle, that answer is the biggest obstacle you have to overcome to do the will of God. Because it's your flesh answer. But you have to jump over that into the Word of God, into the Spirit of God to find out what's going on. And when that happens, boom. That's another one I didn't have down here. I forgot all about it. Lord brought it back because he wanted to use it. And then Zechariah 4:6, when he answered, said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Father. And saying, the Lord of hosts. Think about that. How many times are you walking in the spirit? How many times are you walking in your flesh? Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I just can't stand this. Oh, that person. Take what you analyzed with your mind, calculated, and jump over it into the Spirit of God. What is God saying about it? How does God view those people? God knows about things. He understands stuff. He can tell you. Why don't you use it? Well, we're overexposed and underdeveloped. That guy can. I'll go talk to him. He can pray and find out. Yeah, right. You're underdeveloped. You need to develop yourself in the Spirit of God greater and understand the revelation of God. Because why? He's given you all authority and power. He's given you that. He's known. The same thing Jesus has now belongs to you. That's your inheritance. And the Spirit inside you makes you one with God. When you realize that Spirit inside you comes with God and God cannot sin, it cannot sin. It cannot sin. That was that scripture I was looking for. The residue, the Spirit of God, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, it cannot sin. When you sin, it's not God. It's not your spirit, it's your flesh, your fleshly desires. And the closer you get to the Holy Spirit, and this is it, you need to be rooted and grounded in love. Because what is the Holy Spirit? Love. The Holy Spirit is wisdom, knowledge, wisdom. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, long-suffering. It's time to sit back and start to listen to God more than yourself. This is what the Lord's saying. It's a revelation. It's something that he wants you to have. The reason I'm saying this, there are things that are coming. You can hear it from the prophets. You can hear it from other people. You can hear it from different things that are going on that are going to upset your world like you never seen before. And you're going to say, oh my, we're in trouble. And you have to go back in and you're going to have to sit and say, Father, where are you at? What is happening? Is this you or is it them? And if it's them, you need to be praying. You need to take your authority. You have all authority in heaven and on earth. Why aren't you using it? I got a mouth because I can condemn about these things. I can complain about these things. I can give you all kinds of reasons why this shouldn't happen, all kinds of reasons why that doesn't happen. Why? Because you're not on the footing. You're not using the footing. You're not using the very beginning of everything that God did. God lined up everything perfect at the beginning. His whole plan was perfect, but it was destroyed. Your plan can be perfect from this day on if you decide to change. Doesn't mean, and that's why you got to go back to Romans 3 again. We all fall short of the glory of God because we have a flesh and it belongs to this sinful nature of the world. But when you get into the residue that's inside you, when you ask Jesus into your life, which is the Holy Spirit, it doesn't sin. It doesn't desire to sin. It doesn't want to sin. And the more you get into that, I've seen people that have so much world, but they've never got into the residue. They never let the residue, the Holy Spirit, guide and direct them. It's all about wisdom and knowledge. No, the Holy Ghost needs to give you what you're missing with your wisdom and knowledge. This is something strong that the Lord was saying. He says, I want to do this today. I want to impact them so strong with what I've got to say. It's going to change them so that I can bless them even more. That's exactly what the Lord is saying. But I'd like to do one more thing. Can we finish with that very first song again, Sarah? I know you need, I want you to hear it one more time and get excited about it. Get excited about God. Get excited about what he's doing in your life. Get excited what he's doing in this world today. There's a time God's saying, my blessing is going to fall on people. You have not seen the glory that I'm ready to pour out upon my children. Those who will get a revelation of who I am and what I'm doing in this season will be way beyond and way farther ahead of all others. And you will show them and teach them. And that's why I'm raising this place up, saying the Father. For many will need what you have, but few will find it. But as you rise up, you will go forth and help them grow and prosper and change in this season, saith the Father. Amen.
Here on earth, we learn that God can be a friend. And though he never ever did a the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, a made-up tales, just to help the weak to survive. Oh, let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. They hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said, I'll read it again, but this time there's more. And I believe this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this.
Father, the beginning is us doing the same thing you did on this earth. For you have, Father, given us the inheritance that you gave Jesus. All power and authority in heaven and on earth. And as we humble ourselves before you and allow your Spirit to rise up in authority and power, and we walk in your love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, along the foundation that is being built by your word, we shall see great and magnificent things happening, and the blessings of heaven will fall upon us, that we can show your glory across this world. In the name of Jesus, I pray the revelation knowledge will fall upon your children this week, and they will get the revelation to walk in a way they've never walked before, understood something they've never understood before. Father, I pray they've been overexposed about this, but they've never got a full development inside. I'm not saying everybody, some have, but those who have not been developed, I pray you develop them strong in this area so that they can be walking in your glory and show your glory to others. They will see your glory and desire you and come into your kingdom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, bless each and every one. Keep us safe until we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.